part in Proverbs, I'd just like to say, like I said, it's just nice to be around some like-minded individuals. I get reminded of that when I go to funerals and weddings and different things where people, different churches did. I felt this way when we went to camp. I felt kind of like an outsider. And it's just nice to be, it makes me really appreciate the people we have here. You know, every time I go and see that, you know, there's nothing special about doing what you're supposed to be doing. There's nothing special about opening up the hymns and singing praises to God. You know, there's nothing special, there's nothing flashy about opening the Bible and reading from it and preaching and getting what you're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We do that because we love the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he did for us. Nothing else. There is nothing else that we should be doing this for besides our love for Jesus Christ. It's not a show. It's not a flash. It's what we should be doing. And so, open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to pick up in verse 6. I know I talked a little bit about this the last time I preached, the last time I did this study, but I didn't give it as much precedence as it deserves, especially going forward, moving forward in the chapter here. Excuse me. Okay. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. So there's something that the Lord wants us to know here. There's something that he's trying to tell us, okay? I looked at this, and I talked about this the last time I talked, from like a physical aspect, a practical aspect, okay? But there's something a little deeper here, right? And I think it's very interesting that the Lord put this section about the ant right here. And when you go on into the chapter, you realize why God did this. The big thing that I would like to point out here about the ant is the biggest thing about the ant is he's prepared, right? He prepares his meat in the summer, right? He gathers. He's prepared for that, right? And now you can look at that and say, yeah, well, I prepare. I go to work. I provide meat for my family. And, you know, I put the food on the table and I put a, you know, roof over their head. But what about the spiritual aspect of it? Are you prepared, right? Are you prepared when Satan comes knocking at your door with temptations? And you can see that here, verse 12 through 16. That's the description of the Antichrist. If you continue going on that, verse 16 through 19, six things that the Lord hates. The seventh is an abomination to him, right? The Lord wants us to be prepared about these things. If you continue looking forward after that, verse 24 to 26, about the strange woman, the evil woman, the flattery, be prepared for these situations. They're going to come. And the Lord has already prepared us. This is Proverbs chapter 6, and the Lord has already talked about the strange woman three times in this chapter. This is the third time he's going to mention it. So he wants us to be prepared. He wants us to follow, to pay attention to what's going on here, okay? So be prepared. So the Lord uses nature to teach us about some things, right? He tells us here, look at the ant. Look at what he does. He prepares his meat in the summer. We can use nature as an example for these things. Who taught the ant to gather his meat in the summer? Who taught the ant how to build his anthill? Right? Someone had to do it. Someone teaches babies how to do all the things that they do, how to walk, how to talk. You know, who taught the ant how to do that? Evolution can't be real. It can't be real. It cannot. So the Lord, when we look at nature, we can see that we can see some attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ from God himself through nature. We can see some of the attributes of God. God's prepared. Right? If I wasn't doing this lesson today, he would have somebody doing this lesson today. You know, he would have someone up here. If pastor couldn't make it, he would have someone filling in the pulpit. The Lord's prepared. God's prepared for every situation. God is prepared. So who tells the ants to get up early in the morning and to go out? They don't have a boss. They don't have a foreman. You know, not that I'm aware of. There's no wife ant, you know, nudging the husband ant, get out of bed. It's time to go to work. You know, that doesn't go on, right? The ant just knows because the Lord put it in them to know this thing, okay? How do you explain that? How does science explain that? You can't. Science can't explain any of that. They can't explain that. That's just the Lord. The Lord works in that way. So we're supposed to be prepared, right? And the other thing that we can take away from the ant is you know what you're supposed to do. You know you're supposed to be in the Word of God. You know you're supposed to go to church on Sunday. You know you're supposed to sing praises about the Lord. You know you're supposed to do all these things, right? But why? Because you love the Lord, right? There is nothing flashy about it. It's just because you love the Lord. So there's some things that we can learn from nature. Turn, if you would, over to Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12. Pick up in verse 7, it says, "But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Oh, speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these the hand of the Lord hath wrought this?" Right? Can't be science. Someone had to teach the fishes how to swim. Like if the first tadpole, if he didn't know how to swim and he would have drowned, we wouldn't be here today, as far as what scientists say, right? That's how it goes, you know, and people are telling us that, you know, it's all right to be gay and it's all right to be, well, if Adam was gay, then none of us would be here. It's not right. It's not right. This book is right. This book is right. And you can look at nature, you can look at people, you can look at animals, you can look at bugs, you can look at all these different things and say, wow, someone definitely made that. There is no doubt in my mind. It is so much unreal to think that this happened on happen chance. That's so much of a crazier belief than anything we teach here. For the Lord's hand, in verse 10, in whose hand is the soul of the living thing and the breath of the mankind? So we can learn through nature. Turn, if you would, over to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. These are some examples here that Solomon has listed out in Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to pick up in verse 24. "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise." Little things. The ants are a people not strong. "Yet they prepare their meat in the summer." Prepare is the key word. They're prepared, right? They're prepared for the winter. They're prepared. Like I said before, we need to be prepared, practically and spiritually, for the things that are coming. For the things that Satan's going to throw in front of us, we need to be prepared. Secondly, verse 26, "The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks." Okay, so the conies, however you want to pronounce it, seem to be some sort of rodent, okay? They build their house on rocks, okay? Practically speaking, the wise man built his house upon a rock, right? The foolish man built his house upon the sand. Spiritually speaking, Coney has built his house upon a firm foundation. We, as Christians, we need to build our life around a firm foundation. Jesus Christ is the rock, right? He is the cornerstone. And so, practically speaking, we can get something from nature. We can look at the conies and say, they build their house. We need to build our house upon the rock, right? 27, "The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them by bands." Okay, so they work together. They're stronger together. We are stronger together. Matthew 18:20, where there are two or three gathered together, I am there in the midst, right? We are stronger together. I just know from personal experience, when you go out on the street corner and you're holding up signs, it's a lot easier to do it with a group of people than it is to do something like that on your own. When you're the only guy at work and you're trying to talk to somebody about salvation, or you're trying to talk, you feel like a real, it's a struggle. It's hard. You feel like you're the only one in the world who believes that Jesus Christ is King, and you feel like you're so secluded, right? And there's times where we're going to need to rely upon another, right? Not all of us, life isn't always about the ups, there's downs. There's a lot of downs, you know, there's a lot of downs. And so it's good to have some Christian friends that you can lean on, a Christian wife that you can, you know, come home to and tell about these situations of life that come, but we're stronger together, right? And too often times Christians are at each other's throats more than they are working in one body of Christ. Okay, so they're stronger together, the locusts, they work together. The spider, Here in verse 28, aspire taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palaces, okay? She works with her hands. She's a craftsman, right? The spider's a craftsman, builds houses, not lazy, right? Goes to work. It's quality over quantity, right? Quality over quantity. When you go out and you win someone to the Lord, it's not just about winning that soul to the Lord. Now it's about mentoring that Christian, right? Not quantity, it's quality, right? Raising a Christian through the baby stages and getting him some good solid meat to chew on, right? It's quality, not quantity, okay? And so the spider is a worksman. So there's some interesting facts that I thought I would just mention here about the ant. The ant can lift, depending on the ant, can lift anywhere from 10 to 50 to even 100 times their weight. So that's determination, right? That tells me that the ant is determined, right? No matter what, you know, that reminds me like when I'm working on the car or something like that, I'm doing something and I take out a part and I go to put another part back in and it doesn't go together. And then, why isn't this? This came out so easy, right? But yet it's not going back together so easy. You got to be determined, right? Because if you're not determined, then you don't have a car to drive. And you can't go to work. You can't do the things that you need to do in life. You need to be determined to do things to get the job done. When we have a job to do at the mill, you got to go do it. They're in some pretty nasty, greasy, dusty, I'm talking dirt up to your knees, talking nastiness, grease coming off the ceiling, you know, pickle acid all over the place. You got to go do it. You got to get the job done, right? There's no excuses. All right, determination. You have to go and do the job. That's how we should be in our life, in our Christian life. We should be determined, right? Determined to always put a good testimony together, right? Determined to always have a good testimony. Determined to be living the right way. The army ant. The army ant's interesting. I found this one out. The army ant, they say, can cross rivers by wadding itself into a ball and rolling into a current and getting to the other side. Wow. That's something. That's something. By observing the ant, they've seen that the army ant can cross a river by just wadding up into a ball and rolling itself into a current. Ants have different jobs, right? How they come about these jobs, I don't know. But there's the worker ant, there's the harvest ant, there's the breeder ants, there's the queen ants. They all have different... How do they know? That's the Lord. Moving forward here in Proverbs, turn if you would back to Proverbs chapter 6. Okay, like I said, the next few verses here are a description of what the Antichrist is going to be. Verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. There shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Sorry, excuse me. He shall be broken without remedy, right? And that's, we know that the Lord is going to break him without remedy. There's going to be no fixing what Satan does. So right here, he winketh with his eyes. He's a good actor. He knows how to treat people. He knows how to talk to people. He knows how to communicate. He knows how to speak. He knows how to act. He acts like he's concerned, but he's not. It's a show. It's all a show. There is no sincerity when it comes to a person like this. There is no sincerity that's coming from him. He teaches with his fingers. You know, we know about the signs. You know, pastors talked about the signs. You know, the Pope and his two fingers that he holds up, which is coincidentally the same hand sign that the Baphomet statues hold up. They're telling you who they worship. The Pope is telling you who he worships. You know, when those athletes, they go out and they flash the three sixes over the one eye, they're telling you who they worship, right? It's all over the place. You know, they teach you, they're telling you what they're doing with their fingers. They're telling you what they're doing. Frowardness here in verse, it's mentioned twice here in verse 14 and verse 12. Here we are seeing frowardness being described as sowing discord. A froward mouth is lumped in with pride, arrogance, and the evil way in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. So it's lumped in with pride and arrogancy in the evil way. But what is the froward mouth saying? How does it work? Turn, if you would, there's a good description of how the froward mouth, how a froward person acts. Turn, if you would, to Psalms chapter 52. Psalms chapter 52. Why boastest thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than speaking righteousness. Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take away He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. Okay, so he's devouring. He's got a devouring. How does he do this? In verse 2, he's a gossip. He's telling lies about people. He's spreading rumors about people. He's lying. He uses devouring words. If you don't join him, then verse 4 happens. He's going to devour you. He's going to say whatever he can to take you down. The people who don't join him, he's going to take them down. It says in Matthew 24:24, that he shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive even the very elect. With his mouth, he's going to do that. But also with the wonders that he's going to do. But with his mouth, he is going to destroy, and even the very elect he would deceive. Right? He would deceive even the very elect. Turn, if you would, over to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, this is another description of the Antichrist, this whole chapter, when you're going through it. We're going to pick up in verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and powers was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and tabernacles and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. So he's going, if you don't join him, there's going to be some repercussions. He's gonna come at you. He's gonna come at you hard. Okay. So these are some descriptions of the Antichrist here that Solomon's given us in Proverbs. Turn back over to Proverbs if you would. Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Okay, six things here that the Lord lists that he hates. 666 is the number of the beast. Six is the number of man. Six things here that the Lord hates. Turn, if you would, over to Psalm 6, 36. This is 6 times 6, another thing here. Actually, leave your finger here in verse 6. We're going to see, we're going to compare Scripture with Scripture here. Leave your thumb here in Proverbs 6, and we're going to turn to Psalm 36. The Bible is just a wonderful thing in the way it works, even with its numbers. Even with the numbering of the Bible, it is pure. It's pure, God's pure word. Here we go in verse 36. Verse 1, the transgressions of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself with his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise, and and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in heaven, and in thy faithfulness reached unto the clouds. Okay, so six things here match the six things in Proverbs verse 6. Here we have a proud look, right? The proud look that we have in Proverbs chapter 6 matches, he flattereth himself with his own eyes. The lying tongue, in verse 3, you have, he has a mouthful of deceit. In Proverbs chapter 6, he sheds innocent blood. His iniquity be found in himself hateful. His wicked imaginations, he deviseth mischief upon his bed. He has feet swift to mischief. He setteth himself in a way not good. Right? False witness, the sixth one. The words of his mouth are iniquity. There's iniquity in his mouth. So these are six things that match the Proverbs 6 reference here. But why is all of this? Why does all this happen? My son, in verse 20 in Proverbs chapter 6, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Why is that? Why is Solomon telling us that now after saying six things that the Lord hates? Seven are abomination to him. Why is Solomon throw that in there? He wants us to think about some things here. Why do we have to keep? Well, because we are all capable of the six things that are listed above. We're all capable of a proud look, right? Knowledge. You know, we're fortunate here to be in a Bible-believing church and have one of the most knowledgeable pastors in the country. We have one of the most knowledgeable. Knowledge puffeth up, right? We're not better than anyone else because what we have is a great thing here. You know, we're fortunate. We're fortunate to have such a pastor who knows so much. And there's so many pastors out there where you can see that knowledge has definitely puffed them up in the way that they treat other people, the way they treat their congregation. We're capable of that. We're all capable of lying, right? We're all capable of shedding innocent blood. Now, I don't mean that in a physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, you know, Christians are out there slaying Christians all the time. Christians are out there doing bad things, gossip, talking about people, feet being swift to move, you know. We're always in a hurry to react to a situation. We're always in a hurry to want to get out ahead of it. No, sometimes it's best to just sit back and let God work. Sometimes it's best to just sit back and maybe like take a day and pray about it. Instead of trying to get out in front of the situation, you know, that's what messed the children of Israel up when they were coming into the land of Cana. They messed up. You know, what was it? The Gideonites. They came to them and they deceived them, saying, "We come from a far country." When in all reality, they were neighbors with them, right? And they made a peace treaty. Yeah, that ended up being the that ended up plaguing the Israelites. They weren't supposed to make peace treaty with those people, right? Sometimes it's, I mean, they just made, okay, well, if you're from a far country, I guess so. Right? They didn't pray about it. They didn't ask the Lord about it. It got them in trouble. So sometimes, you know, feet being swift to do things, we're in a hurry to do some stuff. No, just patience. Let the Lord work some situations. I found out the hard way that is the better thing to do sometimes, is just letting the Lord work. It's not about getting out in front of some things here. It's about letting the Lord, about going to the Lord, about having a relationship with the Lord, about asking Him. Pray about the situation. Sowing discord among brethren. I mean, it's happening in Christian all over the Laodicea. If we are in the Laodicea church age, it's going on. It's happening. Sowing discord among the brethren. We're all capable of it. So that's why Solomon puts this here. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. This is about the third or fourth time that Solomon has mentioned it, and we're only in Proverbs chapter 6. So he wants you to remember this. Bind them upon thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is the light, and the reproofs of instructions are the way of life. The Lord loveth who he chasteneth. The Lord gets on you, it's because he loves you. He's trying to bring you back. He's trying to get you out of the wickedness, whatever you got yourself into. The Lord loves you. He wants you to get out of it. And it takes reproof sometimes. We're all stubborn and hard-headed. You know, we don't learn the first time sometimes. Sometimes it takes two or three times. to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. An adulteress will hunt for precious life. You see, in this situation that we have going on here, you can see this is going on in our society today. This is going on in our nation. And you can see from verse 26, a man is brought to a piece of bread, right? He has nothing left. He has nothing left to take, right? That's what getting into this sin, that's what giving into this temptation, that's what it'll leave you with. It'll leave you with nothing but a piece of bread. That is it. And that's a sad thing. Like I said, this is the third time that the Lord has brought up, or that Solomon here, and the Lord has brought up this strange woman three times, and we're only in Proverbs chapter 6. This is a serious wicked sin, and Satan is using it. And you can't walk out the door with seeing something inappropriate. You can't do anything nowadays without seeing something appropriate. The Lord, Satan knows how to deceive men. He knows how to work, and he knows how to bind them. This is a binding sin. Right? This isn't something you can just walk away from. This is a binding sin. It changes you, who you are. And the Lord wants us to be aware of that. A man is brought to a piece of bread. And like I said, that's where America is today. You know, the things I hear on the job site, the things that's just, it's wicked with these dating websites, with all of these things, it's perversion. And you know, that's the end of a great nation. And you know, you see, if you look through history, you do studies on Rome, and you do studies on the Greeks and all the rest of them. It's this sin right here is what brings a nation down. This is right here, single-handedly, is what brings nations, mighty nations, big nations, crumbling to the ground, right? All these sexual perversions that come in, it defiles. It defiles the men, it defiles the women, and the Lord is telling us, stay away. And that's the warning signs that we have. Stay away. Stay away. It will bring you to absolutely crumble. It will bring you to absolutely nothing. Continuing on, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into a neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. The answer is no. You can't play with fire and not get burned. The answer is no. That's the saying. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned, right? Stay away from it. Don't even pay attention to it. And Satan knows that. That's why he's putting it all over billboards. He's putting it all over everything. You can't. Like I said, you can't even. People are talking about this stuff. You can't avoid it. You can't. It's. Stay away. Don't even pay attention to it in the slightest bit. The music that the world is putting out today, it's filth. It's garbage. It's garbage. Don't mess around with it. Don't mess around with it. The things that the world is putting out in movies and in TV shows, it's filth. It's absolute filth. And he's telling you right now, this is how people crumble to nothing. This is how people end up with nothing. This is how men, you know, I see that work all the time. I work around these guys. When I got in, they first told me, there's three D's to ironworking. DUIs, divorce, and I can't remember the last. I think it's drugs. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You got to have these three D's in order to be an ironworker? Now, these were some pretty rough crew type of guys. But I mean, they have nothing. You know what I saw from these men? They were divorced. They were lonely. They went home every single night, and they got into the bottle. And that's how they found their peace to fall asleep at night. They had nothing but a bottle to go home to. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. I mean, just imagine that. That's what this sin does to you. That's what this sin will do to you. Verse 30, men, do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, I skipped 29. So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men, do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if thou be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house, right? So it's really interesting that the Lord put this thing here. When you think about it, you're thinking about a thief, right? But what did Nathan the prophet describe David as? A thief. He described him as a thief, right? When you do this, when you commit that sin, the sin of adultery, you're stealing another man's wife. It's you're a thief. You know, that's why he throws that in here. It goes along with the whole context of what we're talking about here. You're a thief. Verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Right? That's what we're talking about. Destroying his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get. His reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. This sin is only getting more rampant in this country, in this day and age. It's only ramping up. It's not getting better. You know, the other day I seen a video of a kid that got on one of these dating, and this is from Lowell, Indiana. This kid got caught in Lowell, Indiana. He was on a dating website, was talking to a 15-year-old girl, and got picked up. This stuff is going, it's all around us. I don't even realize how much it's crept in into this little podunk town. All this wickedness, all this stuff, it's all over the place. It's all over the place, and it's rampant, and Satan's ramping it up. He's ramping it up for the Lord to come back. And so with that, we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your words, Lord. I just ask and pray that you would be with us. Help us to consider what has been said today, Lord. I pray that you would be with Pastor today as he gets up and preaches. I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive your words, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.